This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You see, by the way, before we go any further, did you see that I put the inspiration for Blam Jam's voice on the Hotlinks chat?
No, I didn't.
I'll go to the chat.
Will you be my new daddy?
You could hear it's exactly where I got it from.
I love Blam Jam even more now.
I think you're getting fleeced, daddy. I'm a man, daddy. I was a Blam Jam, now I'm a Blam Man.
Hello, Hotlinks. It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by
Jeremy Cobb. We got to it, but Grace Kelly Miller calls me Jeremy Spunk Trough.
What?
That is from a joke that was made during the kickback that we recorded. Jeremy Spunk Trough.
Look, if there's not a reason, a solid reason to check out the Three Black Halflings Patreon listeners, then I don't know what more we could do, if I'm being honest.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full Prince vibe? Woof!
Let's make them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now. How are you all doing today?
How's all two of us doing?
Sad time.
A moment of silence.
A moment of silence indeed. We thought we'd do a little bit of pop culture chat today and do like a bit of like an old school Three Black Halflings episode. We're going to have some tales. We're going to have Wizard of the Rings. Stick around till the end. So it should be a lot of fun. Even though we are missing Auntie so much. But we do have some special guests coming up in the next couple of weeks.
A cavalcade.
Indeed, a cavalcade of guests.
Just one after another, peeling them off the bone.
We have been just pat, 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 just getting those guests. We'll need to put a link to that in the, because there's too many Americans who listen to this who are like, what
the guests go,
It's a very funny viral video about a man who refuses to take off his jacket. Oh, did it?
If it didn't, I'd throw it in the link anyway.
Yeah, I'll throw in the link.
Yeah, what is his name? Is it Big Shaq? Is that
Know what. Let me see if his name is Big Shaq.
I feel like it's Big Shaq.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is Big Shaq.
Big Shaq deserves more attention.
Definitely.
At least for that particular song.
we will put the link to Man's Not Hot in the... in the description below.
It's been so long since I actually listened to the original Man's
Not Hot. Really, really quite funny. But Jeremy, how are you doing? How are you doing on this? It's a Friday. It's actually a pretty nice Friday here in England. Mm. The weather is nice, if not a little chilly. But how are you
doing well. I'm doing very well. I just had a call with someone.
Ooh.
About something cool.
Ooh.
That will be, the rest of you will be finding out about. It's a Three Black Halflings related thing that will be happening later this year.
Ooh, so, baby. It's very exciting. Yes, I've spent all morning trying to do a self-tape around my normal work. And like, Freddie Act is out there. I don't know if you've felt this, but like, I feel like I feel good doing the self-tape. And then as soon as I watch it back, I'm like, wow.
Usually I feel bad doing the self-tape. Look at it, I'm like, it's actually not that bad.
Oh wow, so you have the opposite of me. I usually feel like I'm like through it, I'm like into it, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun, and I'm, you know, and then I watch it back and I'm just like, I'm never gonna act again. So that's how my day's going. So this is a nice reprieve. This is a nice little pause on that right now.
I'm glad. I think only one time I've ever done a self-tape, done a performance as I was doing the performance, been like, that was great. Then watch it back and be like, I actually really like this.
Oh,
I think it's the only time.
If it's just like straight acting, this is like a musical theater thing, which is not my, not my blam jam, as it were.
Oh boy. What song did you sing, Jasper?
I'm doing Hakuna Matata.
It's not a big singer, that one, unless you get to the when he was a young
That's the bit I'm doing. Yeah.
Did you go for the big, like, operatic?
Oh, I did it in like a funny way. It was the focus was on funny here, not on not on anything else, not on hitting notes.
We do not want them to focus on anything else.
So it's on the funny, but you know, we'll see what happens once it's submitted. Then I can carry on with my Friday. That's the thing that I'm looking forward to.
Now, Jasper,
Yes.
I think we talked immediately before this. I think this is kind of like a little bit of a Spider-Man focused episode, right? Because they just dropped the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home, which I would not normally bring up except for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One, the movie comes out next month, and it's very unusual for them to be dropping the first official. Am I correct in saying this? It's very unusual for a company. Yeah, but it's very unusual for them to drop the first official trailer for Triple A is the game. It's a tentpole film. Whatever. Yeah. This is a flagship movie.
This is your
movie
winter blockbuster, baby.
It's meant to make probably like $1 billion or more. Is the goal?
I'd say 700 probably. Usually about 700 and something for these standalones.
The first Spider-Man made more than that.
For the standalones, though, you don't normally.
No, the first Spider-Man made $800 million.
Okay, well,
in 2002. Okay, if they can't even hit $800 million now with inflation, you got to be hitting at least a billion.
We're aiming for a billion. Okay.
It's very unusual for a movie that's supposed to be this big to have a trailer released a month before it comes out. Am I correct in thinking that?
I think you're absolutely correct in thinking that. I normally
specifically the first full length trailer.
I don't normally watch trailers. If I know I'm going to watch the film, I don't watch trailers because I think what's the point? It's just going to give me spoilers. So I don't normally watch trailers. But part of the reason I don't normally watch them is because it is very annoying. They come out and then at the end of the trailer, it's like coming next winter, and I'm like, that's a year away.
That like, looks so cool.
Why? Like, that looks amazing, and now I've got to wait this whole time? What do you think it's going to do? Build anticipation? I'm not going to spend every single day thinking about this movie. You've just annoyed me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spend any more money than I was going to, unless cinema prices go up. What's the point? I don't get it. I don't understand why they would release them so early. So I will watch the trailer, do a live react. Is there anything in particular that I'm... Is there a particular reason that you bring up the whole it being a month out? Does it have anything to do with Andrew Garfield and
Tobey Maguire allegedly being almost certainly, but yeah, we should give a little bit of lead up, I guess, to that.
Well, because this is the funny thing, right? Is the fact that Kevin Feige and Tom Holland have come out almost like in like a weird way where you think it's a joke, right? You think like, oh, they're making a joke because they're going, look, guys, they are not in this movie. And I'm like, are they winking? I can't tell because I'm reading this written down, but they must be winking at the camera right now because it's like...
Neither one of them can wink. They're just blinking really hard.
Really hard. But it seems weird to me how like voracious they have been in the denial of this worst-kept secret in Hollywood. Like, unless also, it's not true, in which case,
well,
like,
Garfield, they found footage. I don't know if you saw this, but they found footage of somebody leaked footage of Andrew Garfield on the set of the film in costume as Spider-Man.
I'm pretty sure there's like a picture of all three.
It's a Photoshop.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a Photoshop,
but it's
not.
It's almost definitely not. The dudes from Corridor Films who do all of the good CGI versus bad CGI stuff.
I love them.
They did a deep dive into into that video, and they're like, if this is a deep fake, this is the best deep fake I have ever seen in my life.
And we are in a troubling new era of the
because
world.
Because like all of the light, the water in his mouth, the way his hair
water in his mouth.
Hair has a different His hair is in a different style than it was back when they were shooting the original Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. Like, he has a different hairstyle now.
Wow.
In fact, the hairstyle he has is his current hairstyle. So, like, I feel like...
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so I'm going to watch this. I would like to point out, though, Tom Holland made some very interesting comments, which is, I don't know if you've seen these, but someone asked him whether he would carry on as Spider-Man because there's the whole Sony and versus Disney thing going on where technically the old Sony still own the rights to Spider-Man and at least to Tom Holland's, but I can't remember. Anyway, and he was like, I don't know, maybe it's not time for me to carry on. Maybe it's time for like Marvel to do Miles Morales or something. And I was like, yo, Tom Holland, fair. That's right. Yeah. Hang that suit up. Give it over to a brown person. That'll be cool.
Does not want to give away the fact that his Spider-Man is horribly murdered at the end of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. In the trailer. That's what I'm about to watch. Okay, right. Here we go.
At the end of the trailer.
Okay, here we go.
Just
trailer
completely recast.
Begins in 3, 2, 1. Huh. Okay, we're looking. Hey, there's Doc Ock. There's Green Goblin. Nice. That was a little
and
flash
Electro.
There. And Electro.
They brought Jamie Foxx back.
Ooh,
as Electro.
Tom Holland. Looks so sad. Why is he so sad? Oh, yes, of course. Oh, my God. How did I forget about the whole reveal thing of everyone getting told? Also, are they dating now? I think Tom Holland and Zendaya are dating now, I think.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
I've heard that rumor. I must admit, I've never been a big Cumberbatch, but I do think he's quite a good Doctor Strange, I must admit. As much as I never want to admit it, I was like, yeah, he's pretty good.
I would have liked, originally, I would have liked somebody more ridiculous.
Hmm.
Like... Oh, hello!
It's me, Doctor Strange.
By the hoary hosts of Hogarth!
I must admit, it's very cool seeing Doc Ock.
Now, what is this new spider suit?
Yeah, this black one. Very interesting. It's like armored or something. Also, is Electro Jamie Foxx? Please say no. No. Yeah.
They brought him back.
No.
And made him no longer
Jamie Foxx said yes to come back and do that trash again?
Yeah, dude, I think he felt like he got a raw deal the first time.
Nah, man, he didn't get do. Nah,
I think he was in a bad movie. I think Jamie Foxx is a good
actor.
Very
bad movie. Oh, I think he's a great actor, but like even the hair and costume, my dude, it was like
you'll see glimpses. They completely changed it.
Did he just knock Peter Parker out of Spider-Man?
Yeah, I love Peter Parker fighting Doctor Strange. Apparently,
yeah. Okay, Jamie Foxx looks normal now.
That looks so much better.
Yeah. Yes, Willem Dafoe. Send it.
Yes.
Send it. Right, where's Garfield? Oh, Lizard Man? Sandman? Oh,
this may be them finally doing their Sinister Six movie.
Don't Emma
kill
Stone,
her again.
Zendaya. Wait, oh, here's
don't
post-credits.
Don't kill Spider-Man's girlfriend.
Something's starting to come through and I can't stop them.
He said they're starting to come through and I can't stop them.
Oh, okay, so that's them.
Maybe.
It has to be.
The lights in the sky do... bear a distinct resemblance to the lights that you see in the sky in Spider-Verse. And this trailer is interesting for a number of reasons. One, this is like this, the idea of a Spider-Man movie with the Spider-Men from potentially three different franchises and villains from multiple franchises and Doctor Strange.
Mm.
Even 10 years, even 5 years ago, honestly, would have been a pipe dream. Like to think this is the kind of thing that people would dream of. This, if you made this a comics event, it would be huge. Like, it'd be a big event. It's like, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange through the multiverse. We're bringing back multiple other versions of Spider-Man. We're bringing back, like, Ultimate Spider-Man and maybe Spider-Man 2099 or, I don't know, Mayday Parker, the Amazing Spider-Girl, something like that. That was like a dream. And we just watched a trailer with Willem Dafoe, Alfred Molina, Jamie Foxx, apparently Thomas Hayden Church, and what was it? Jonathan, is Reese something. The guy who originally played the Lizard was
Reese. Reese is definitely right. I can picture his face in my head.
I'm looking it up now to see, because he's British.
Yeah, I think, like, you're absolutely right. This is the, this is absolutely...
Reese Ephens.
That's it. This is absolutely, this is the clout of... of Disney coming to the fore, I think, because this is just something that just I don't even think would be conceived of, you know, and I think Disney has this kind of like, I think Disney has like genuinely what if mentality of just like if it's potential, then it can happen and therefore we will make it happen.
When you have enough money and own enough properties, you'd be amazed at what you can do.
What you can do.
This
truly
is a monkey's paw. This is what, this is it's like we wished for something like this, and now it's like you get it, and it'll probably be pretty good.
Yeah,
but also now Disney has an entertainment monopoly.
How far does it go? That's the question I have. Do you know what I mean?
In terms of having all of them show up?
Well, no, I mean like how many more things could this happen to? Do you know what I mean? Like, because this is such a peculiar, like,
I don't know. Have you watched WandaVision yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Spoilers for WandaVision. Jump through like the next 30 seconds if you don't. They did bring back the original Quicksilver.
Yes. Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, that's what I mean. As in, I think it's an odd premise that could easily be and could go out of control. Like, I mean, where do we stop here? Do you know what I mean? Like, how far in the future do we start pulling other characters from other franchises? And do you know what I mean? Like, could... Like, Deadpool made the whole joke about Ferris Bueller at the end of Deadpool. Like, how far do they go, you know what I mean, with that joke now watching this? You know what I mean? Do they get Matthew Broderick or whatever? Is it Matthew Broderick? Is that the guy's that's his name? Is it? Yeah, like, do they get him to appear in the new Deadpool or something? Like,
Well, also, like, the franchises that can now cross over. Like, Disney owns Star Wars. Let's not forget. Man. They could, if they wanted to, no one would like that. But they could... Oh, pause for a second. I have to run down because I have food arriving.
Oh, wait. I think we normally do this on the Patreon, but I will do it for the listeners at home. When Jeremy occasionally gets food, I like to try and guess what food he has ordered. It'll be a sandwiched good is usually the solid guess, but it's about guessing the filling of said sandwich good. I'm thinking it might be chicken today. Some chicken of some variety, because that's also what I'm going to have for lunch. Maybe, I can see a brown bag. What did you get?
I got an omelet.
That was left of field. I did not see that coming. But go back to the crossover of franchises. I'm still wondering whether there's going to be X-Men crossovers with Marvel, because I'm pretty sure they have X-Men now.
Yes, they have. I think they've actually announced... They have X-Men and the Fantastic Four, actually. Ooh. And I think that they've announced an X-Men animated series.
Okay. But are we going to get X-Men and Marvel? X-Men versus Marvel?
I think they'll bring them in. I think they'll
X-Men
bring
versus
the
Avengers, sorry. That's what I meant to say, not versus Marvel. Idiot.
Ooh. The Avengers and the X-Men have fought before.
Yeah.
Spider-Man actually fought the X-Men. Speaking of Spider-Man, in Secret Wars, there's like he has a brief little fight with the X-Men. This is where the writers decide. You'll see like different writers will write characters as being different power levels.
Mm.
And sometimes I feel like Spider-Man really gets underpowered. Like there's one comic where Daredevil knocks him out.
What?
And it's just like, really?
He wouldn't even get
Daredevil
close.
Daredevil just punches him really hard on the chin.
What? He wouldn't even get close to Spider-Man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Spider-Man is actively trying to kill Daredevil as well. That's also partly why it was so frustrating.
Ludicrous.
But in this one, Spider-Man solos the entire X-Men.
What?
Like, he goes...
No.
It's him versus Cyclops, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Storm... Wolverine. I think that's the team.
I think he would... Okay, so there are a few in there that I think he would struggle to solo, what, like just one-on-one. I think Nightcrawler, he'd have a rough time. Storm, he'd definitely have a rough time.
Well, the thing is, what happens is, like, they were making plans. He sneaks into the room. They discover he's there and try to stop him, but he's faster than any of them. He's faster than any of them, stronger than almost all of them except for Colossus. He's stronger than every single one of them except for Colossus. So if it's basically like they're not all unconscious, but he basically makes them look like chumps. Like Storm like tries to fly up and do something. He webs her in the face and like throws her into something. And it's kind of like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. That tracks.
Mm-hmm.
He could react faster than she could. And Nightcrawler tries to like bamf. Spider Sense grabs him, like smacks him away. And Spider-Man's strong enough to basically one hit Nightcrawler if he really wants to.
Wow.
And so just... Ah, Wolverine jumps on him, not fast enough. Spider-Man like slams him into the ground.
Coordinate your attacks, X-Men. Come on. Like, essentially, that's what
Spider-Man makes it out of the room, and Professor X just erases the experience from his memory, so he forgets what he saw. And then the rest
of the X-Men
are sitting around like, guys, we suck. What's going on here? I can't remember if Cyclops is there or not. I thought he was, but maybe he wasn't. But I think it's like they had either switched leadership or something recently. Oh, I don't remember, but they're
switched
like really
leadership.
Yeah, it may have been that Storm had recently become the leader. I can't remember. It's been a while since I read Secret Wars, but they're just all really ashamed. It's like after losing a big game, like your team is back after the game. Like, wow. Guys, we got to get it together here.
What's going on here?
We're in free fall. Our season hangs in the balance.
So bad.
We got to redeem ourselves.
Ooh, that's something that I would like. I would like to see this more like a sport thing in D&D, like a sports franchise in D&D. That would be really cool.
Really so they add like a sports, basically a sports TTRPG into the mechanics.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be really fun.
D&D just starts absorbing other systems.
D&D becomes the Disney of tabletop role playing games.
Jasper, a fan of Disney's Monopoly confirmed.
Yep, huge fan. No, please don't come for me, Discord. Please don't come for me, Discord. Please, I'm joking. But I want to speak about something that Marvel did do very well. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because now that is an excellent, like, if they manage to achieve with No Way Home anything close to Into the Spider-Verse, even a fraction,
let's be frank, they're ripping it off.
Yeah. I was actually wondering, I wonder whether we might get Miles Morales in this movie, like as a post-credits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think we might get it. Ooh. I think there might be like a post-credits where like Doctor Strange stops. You know, he kind of like his time senses are tingling, mm-hmm. and then he carries on walking, and then we cut to like an alley, and then like a little black kid and like lands in the Spider-Man pose and is like, "Where am I?" You know what I mean?
Whoa.
I could see that. I could definitely see that happening.
That'd be really.
And then
really
the
cool.
entire theater goes. Like, oh man, every black person around the world simultaneously loses their mind.
Yes, if you thought Tom Holland's Spider-Man was popular,
oh,
imagine when you combine
you
Black
wait.
Panther and Spider-Man.
Oh man, I'd be so excited. I think it's like, Spider-Man is arguably, like, I think if you're a young kid, because there's been so many, you know, iterations now of Spider-Man, I think because of that, it's become such like a unit. He's become
ubiquitous.
Such a universal, ubiquitous like hero. In that, so many people, I think, find
he's one of the big three.
Him accessible.
If we're gonna be real, there are three superheroes that are, I think, easily the biggest.
Okay, can
in
I
the
try
world,
and guess them?
And that's I don't think it's hard to guess.
Is it 2 DC, 1 Marvel?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
There's
Batman,
no question.
Superman, Spider-Man.
Yeah. Superman has not had like the great public, like really, really public entries into his canon recently, by which I mean really, really great movies. He hasn't had like an amazing TV show recently, at least. Well, not an animated TV show. I hear that Supergirl has done some really cool things.
Yeah, I've heard
Supergirl
about
is doing the Crisis, and they met like the Smallville Superman.
I think
apparently that was pretty cool.
I used to enjoy Smallville back in the day. It was like my favorite Superman property, but I, you know, you've been slowly convincing me to read some Superman comics.
There are some incredible ones, but you don't have, Superman does not have the same movie profile as the other two, or TV show profile, because even though he's had good TV shows, they haven't been, they're not Batman the Animated Series, where it's like the, many people will identify as that as the best iteration of the character, period. Like, for some people, or at least it's like the definitive version, at least that in non-comic form for a lot of people. But you have so many Batman movies and now
just
so many
so
Spider-Man
many.
Movies.
So many different. Yeah, man. Oh, Matt, see, like, what? Like, imagine. I bet you anything DC is like, could we get Christian Bale, Ben Affleck,
Christian Bale,
and
Michael Keaton? Yeah, and Val Kilmer and George Clooney.
God.
Adam West is sadly deceased, but they have a CGI Adam West.
Oh my word. Nice to meet you. And there's Christian Bale.
I'm not wearing winter clothes.
Sorry, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Christian Bale's Batman in the same movie is truly incomprehensible to me. I cannot work out for the life of me how those pieces fit together.
Oh, and they bring back Chris Nolan to direct.
Oh my god. Tonally, that film is a mess. It has to be.
Yeah.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Go back to the crossover of franchises. I think it does raise quite an interesting point, which is that, like, it is all about building these universes now, these big kind of things. And I would be so shocked if Wizards don't start licensing, like, official stuff to put in the Wizards games, to make them, like, official D&D locations that, like, they can have on, like, in source books and stuff like that. There's so many properties that you could, that I could imagine them bringing out, like, the official, like, D&D, like, licensed thing. In fact, actually, it happened with Stranger Things. They literally brought out an official Dungeons & Dragons Stranger Things set with, like,
I'm
a little Demogorgon.
Is it good right now?
How is it?
Yeah, it's fun so far. I'm playing. My character is named Lamont Daniels.
Oh yes, this is Lamont Daniels.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So have I talked about him on the show before?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because remember afterwards I said that you were on a run of the most explicitly black named characters.
Yes, and then I explained where the name came from.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yes, Karate Kid, good stuff.
Very good stuff. But I think that would be interesting. And so, my question to you, if you could have an official source book, not that we use official source books, we all homebrew stuff anyway, but just for the fun, just because they would sort out all the mechanics and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you mean
for
not
you.
Just an official source book, an official, like an official adventure?
Yeah, you can have a rule set. You can have a rule set and adventure with it. Yeah, 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 yeah. So like there can be like reskinning of stuff and all that kind of stuff, but an official Wizards of the Coast thing. And I'll say as an added bonus, you get to like run it or play in it on like some official stream somewhere. What would you pick? What universe? Like it'd be anything.
Oh man.
I kind of want to go with Game of Thrones just so I could effectively remake via D&D the last series.
Oh, kind of like what Crown of Candy did.
Yeah, kind of like what Crown of Candy did. Yeah.
Off the top of my head, because I think that especially if you start to expand it, and it'd be very interesting to see how you could make it fit with D&D mechanics. Animorphs.
Oh yeah, you're on an Animals Flex at the moment. I've been on Animorphs Discord
kick recently. Somebody caught that the reason that Camel refers to Tovo as my prince is because one of the characters from that refers to the leader of their group as my prince, and it's a very very frequent interaction where his name's Aximili Esgaroth Ithsil. It's either Ithsil or Ithsil. I'm gonna look up. I think it's Ithsil, but I'll make sure.
I wouldn't have any idea. That is a deep Animorphs cut. Congratulations to whoever on the Discord got that, because I wouldn't have done.
Yes, Aximili Esgaroth Ithsil refers to Jake Berenson as my prince. And he's actually telepathic, because he doesn't have a mouth. So he's constantly speak into his mind, and he'll say something a bit and then end it with my prince. And then Jake will say, stop calling me my prince. And he'll say, yes, my prince.
that tracks. That sounds like Camel.
Yeah.
So Animorphs, that would be hella fun.
Did you ever read Animorphs?
Everybody be Druids? I think yes, but not very much. And it was very young.
For those of you, because we probably have some people who are a little bit younger and have not grown up with all of those books in their libraries, just looking at these insane covers. Animorphs, for most people, I think most people of a certain age who lived in certain regions would have just known of the Animorph series because the covers were so striking. Every cover featured transforming into an animal in like various stages,
and not in and like a wistful magical kind of way, in like a like my bones are elongating inside of my body kind of way.
Yes, and it was like they photoshopped it though, so like they photoshopped all of these weird like half human half bird things on like until you have a bird on one end and a person on the other end and a bunch of abominations in between. And then the books themselves were actually very heavily sci-fi. They were basically, the premise is that there is this group of people, well, a group of beings called the Yurks. The Yurks are these slug-like creatures, very small slug-like creatures that will slither into the brains of sentient creatures and control them.
Okay.
The Yurks live in like I think they're like mud colored pools. I forget what color, but they soak up like these rays, but the Yurks are blind, deaf. They have no way of leaving their pools except by going into creatures.
Right.
And they started to take over more and more powerful creatures. And at this point are starting to like wage a war across the galaxy, trying to take over as many races as possible.
Oh, right. Okay.
And there's a race of beings called the Andalites, who are aliens from a completely different planet, who are these, like, they look like deer centaurs. So instead of like having horse legs, they look like deer legs.
Okay.
And then they're
and
also
the whole
blue.
Deer torso as well?
Kinda, yeah, but then they have like a human torso extending out.
So it's like a deer
instead of a horse, and then a humanoid body. Except then they have elf-like ears, pointy ears. They have no mouth.
Yeah, what?
They have like a weird eye, a weird nose, and then they have two eye stalks. In addition to their normal human eyes, they have like two antennae with eyes at the end of those stalks. Those little antennae, and they call them their eye stalks. So they have 360-degree vision. They're blue, and then they have a gigantic bladed scorpion tail extending out of the back of the deer
horrific.
Body.
Horrific.
And those are the good guys.
What?
The Andalites are the good guys.
What? That's terrifying.
The Yurks are the bad guys. The Andalites are trying to stop them. The Andalites communicate via telepathy. They eat through their hooves.
Someone's made one on Dwarven Forge.
Oh, that's sick. Oh, you mean Hero Forge?
Hero Forge, sorry, yeah.
That's sick. And that's actually Aximili Esgaroth Ithsil is an Andalite.
Huh.
And they're like these super genius, very warlike people. And then the book starts with one of their most famous warriors, this guy named Elfangor, the older brother, actually, of Aximili, crash landing in a junkyard. Or no, not a junkyard, a construction site. And a bunch of human kids happen upon the ship and meet him. And he's basically like, please come inside. Look, there's not much time. The Yurks are coming. They're going to kill me. take this. He gives them this blue box, and he has them all touch it, and it gives them the power to absorb the DNA from other creatures and then transform into those creatures.
Whoa.
And he tells them what the Yurks are. The Yurks have been invading Earth, but no one even knew. So there's all these people that are already, they're called controllers. The people who are being mind controlled by Yurks, that are, there's already like hundreds, if not thousands of them, and nobody knows. And he's like, they're already among you. Tell no one of what you have seen here. You can't trust anyone. If they catch you, they will put a Yurk inside of your brain and you will never have freedom again. And it's like, so horrific, and he gives them this power, and it's like six kids, actual like literal like preteens slash early teens, and he's like, please now run, because the Yurk blade ship, that's what it's called, is a blade ship, descends, and one of the main Yurk leaders, Visser 3, who actually has an Andalite body that he controls.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of Visser now. Yeah, this is,
yeah, Visser 3 is terrifying. Comes out, turns into, I think it's called like a Lethak or something, I forget, or Lenderthak, and basically this thing with way too many like mouths, I think, I can't even remember, but just eats Elfangor, and they're like, oh my gosh, and then they're getting chased by these creatures called Horkbajir, which the Horkbajir are these peaceful tree dwellers who are like 7 feet, 8 feet tall, and they look like if you combined a lizard with a kangaroo and stuck a lot of blades on it.
What?
It's their...
When did this come out? This is like a...
Came out in the 90s, dude.
Fever dream of the 90s. Wow.
Yeah.
97.
It's yeah, it's some good... But they're like surprisingly good.
And that's the... Oh, 96. 96.
Yeah. There's like 40-something books. No, I think there's like 54. I think there's 52 or 54 books in the series. And they came out like once a month, like relentlessly, wow. With tons of side material. It was either, it was once every few months.
Some of these covers are just absolutely class. The one where she's transforming into a starfish. Like, they just make her head so pointy.
That book is so weird. She turns into a starfish, and then a random kid on the beach comes and chops the starfish in half with a shovel. And both halves of the starfish survive, because that's how starfishes work.
Yeah.
And then both of them demorph, and they're both her.
Whoa.
Except one is like one got all of her like aggression, and one got all of her fear, and like all of her hard side is in one half, and all of her soft side is in another half.
So you're saying you want like an all druid campaign, effectively.
I think you'd have to come up with new rules, because the Animorphs can morph and demorph a little bit more frequently than druids can.
Right.
But, and it also actually takes longer. It takes them like a full minute to transform.
Ooh. So maybe you could kind of like ritual cast wild shape, but it takes like a minute or something.
Doing it, morphing and demorphing too much in a short amount of time actually does like wear you out pretty quickly. But there's another major rule. I think you can only spend 2 hours in morph. Before you have to demorph. If you do not demorph within 2 hours, you are stuck as that creature.
Whoa, that would suck.
And you can no longer get the morphing power. You can't get the morphing power anymore. You're just that thing. And the Andalites refer to people who are stuck as a specific animal as Nothlits. And one of the main cast becomes a Nothlit in like the first book.
Oh my God.
He gets stuck as a red-tailed hawk for like the whole series.
Oh no. So that would be your setting.
Yes. I think you could do some really, really fun stuff with an Animorphs TTRPG, because there are even more alien races that we haven't even talked about. There's so many cool things in that story.
Should we do a Wizard of the Rings?
Yes, we should.
That is right, we are back. Wizard of the Rings is back, baby.
Yeah.
We're gonna do Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, the first iteration, the first of Tobey Maguire's entrance as Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. We are gonna recast this with all black people. The question
Or
is,
just people of color in general.
Yes, all people of color in general. And the question is, are we going to kind of keep they're in technically in high school but they are like easily 30-year-old, you know, people? Ooh. Or are we going to do like the sort of, or are we going to do it as it should be and actually have people that look at least vaguely like they are
oh, man.
The right age? Because like this was bad. The Andrew Garfield one was worse, like in terms of just like completely not bothering to make him look like he's, you know, at high school, yeah. Whatever.
And then I think, well, this one, at least they got him out of high school in the first movie.
Yes.
Like I think by like halfway through the first movie, he's graduated. So yeah. It's more excusable with the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's more, well, he is still like easily low, not. So not. Like, he's just a full-blown man.
How old? I'm going to look at how old Tobey Maguire was when they made this.
Maguire
was born in 1975. So he was about 27, maybe 26 when they filmed this.
He was my age.
25, 26 when they filmed this.
He was my age.
I would say, let's come up with two castings. Because the first one, my pick for Peter Parker, from Stranger Things, you know him, you love him. I think he'd be a very interesting Peter Parker.
Yes.
Caleb McLaughlin.
Yes. That's a great shout.
That's if we're going young Spider-Man.
That's if we go for young Spider-Man. Yeah. I think he would. Oh, man. Imagine if he popped up at the end of this movie as Miles Morales.
That'd be so
man,
cool.
I'd lose it. I would lose it. That'd be so freaking cool. I'm trying to think if there's any slightly older ones that I'd go for.
Yeah, who's like a something mid-20s black person?
John Boyega? It's always John Boyega. If we're doing, because obviously John Boyega has to be mentioned in all of them. So if we're going John Boyega though, my man Lakeith Stanfield is Harry Osborn.
Ooh, dude, yes. You're so right.
Because you know when he, when, spoilers, but for it's Spider-Man 2, you know when he, that would be unreal. Him.
Yes. Otto. I can picture
yes,
him.
Come on, you see
yeah,
it?
Like all of that stuff.
Yes.
Bro,
yes.
Can you imagine him with the eating the pie in Spider-Man? Like, so good. That is such a perfect casting. Oh my goodness. I think the only casting.
Sorry,
that
was one of the funniest. That really, I forgot about the pie. It's so funny.
I think the only casting that could stand up to that is Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
As J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh shit! Yes. Oh my words.
I want some motherfucker.
I'm sick of this motherfucking Spider-Man in this motherfucking city.
But legitimately, like, that would be Hoffman, get in here, man. Like, the absolutely fed up Samuel L. Jackson would be, oh.
Wow.
Oh, how perfect would that be?
Wow.
A movie with Lakeith Stanfield and Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Okay. And then we'd be. Oh, what about like Forrest Whitaker or something as Green Goblin?
See, I think you need somebody more ridiculous.
Maybe. Okay.
I think you, because Willem Dafoe has like a crazy looking face.
Wesley Snipes? I reckon he'd send it. I reckon he'd send it. And I'd believe that Lakeith Stanfield was.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself. Godspeed, Spider-Man. I actually could, like, I could imagine that, like, the heart Osborn!
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff.
I think Wesley could do a little bit of that unhinged.
Wesley Snipes would be really good in that role.
I think he could do that. I think he could
I would
do
watch
that.
That.
I'd watch the hell out of that. Who's our Mary Jane Watson?
Oh, yes, I have an idea, and it's not Zendaya. Have you seen If Beale Street Could Talk?
Yes.
I was going to suggest Kiki Layne.
Okay.
I think she's a good. I think. She's good in Native Son too. Forgot about Native Son. She's from Cincinnati.
Yo,
my hometown.
Is there not many people that come from Cincinnati that?
There's a few. Cincinnati is. Let's see. I mean, Ohio as a state has more presidents than any other state,
huh?
That come from it. I think.
Isn't
but. But we've. I know. I Cincinnati. Okay. Does not have that many famous people that come from it.
What about Aunt May?
Take your pick, dude. There are so many good black actresses who are older, who have had such amazing careers. My first thought is Felicia Rashad. If you just want her to be like the kindly old, if you're doing the Sam Raimi one, you want the classic Aunt May from the comics where she has one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel, constantly on the verge of death. Bro, there are so many early comic storylines that center around Spider-Man trying to save Aunt May, because she's about to die yet again.
I'm pretty happy with Felicia Rashad. I think that's a very good shout.
That Halle Berry for the top, for the if we're doing the Kyle MacLachlan Spider-Man. That's who you get if you're remaking the Tom Holland Spider-Man. Easily do Halle Berry instead of Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, you could keep it pretty much the same, you know, with Iron Man coming in being like, "Hey."
Yeah.
Hey,
who would you have? We need an Uncle Ben.
A short stint for Uncle Ben.
Yeah, but a short but memorable stint.
Indeed.
For Uncle Ben.
It needs to be a powerhouse of a performance.
Yeah, and if we're going with Felicia Rashad, we need an older black actor.
Morgan.
Too old. Morgan Freeman's 90.
He's 84.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought he was older than that, man.
No, Morgan Freeman just looked about 94. I feel like it's like black don't crack. When it cracks, it's cracked. That's it.
It's preserved.
It's crystalline. It just doesn't move after that.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, I rewatched Unforgiven the other day, and Morgan Freeman still it feels like he looks the same.
That's what I
mean.
From
that to now.
That's what I mean. Black don't crack again. It cracked once.
It cracks exactly once.
And then it don't crack again. That was it. That's the lot.
Denzel Washington, I bet you, would actually do a really good job.
Oh my God, Denzel.
Because I know he's known for playing really, really strong people, but I think he could have a very quiet, kind strength really wanted.
Like Lawrence Fishburne or something?
I thought about it, but Lawrence Fishburne's got that voice. I would actually go Lawrence Fishburne for Dr. Otto Octavius.
Oh, what a shout. What an outrageously good shout. Yeah, man.
The power of the sun in the palm of my hand.
Yes. Can we please cast, because we have to have The Rock in there as well in every one of these. Can we please have him as Flash Thompson?
But he's Bonesaw McGraw.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Flash Thompson, but sure.
Well, they had Macho Man Randy Savage as the original Bonesaw McGraw.
Oh, do they?
You gotta have... Yeah, that's who plays the original Bonesaw. The Bonesaw is ready. Why don't we have him as both?
All right, yeah, we'll have him as both.
We'll have him as both Flash Thompson and Bonesaw
McGraw. I just want
McGraw.
An excuse to see Dwayne Johnson back in school, because it's just funny.
We put a wig on him for when he's Flash Thompson, and then we just have him as The Rock, as Bonesaw McGraw.
Oh, God.
That would be, I'm really liking this cast. This is a strong cast.
This is very strong.
There's a lot of dudes you could pick.
Did we nail down Green Goblin again?
I think we had leaned towards Wesley Snipes.
Yes, actually, Wesley Snipes. I'm going to throw out another one as well. My man Jeffrey Wright has been doing some bits recently.
Yes.
And I think he'd be really... If you've watched Westworld, he can do... Oh, yeah, he can do the kind of he can give that mad scientist vibe, I think.
Yeah,
I think
just
really...
absolutely unhinged.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would
be
really, really cool. I like that. Let's see, who else... Ooh, you know who, if we can't get Lawrence Fishburne, you know who I'm going to throw out as my next Dr. Octopus pick? Giancarlo Esposito.
Oh! That is a most magnificent shout. Yo.
Honestly, as good as Alfred Molina was and is in that part, some of these dudes I feel like would be as good.
If not better, I mean, come on.
Wow. Lawrence Fishburne. Especially that's Morpheus era Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, man.
If they had done it back in the day,
Lawrence Fishburne walking with the Doc Ock arms, that would get me gassed up.
Oh, bro, that would be so cool. Then we have Spider-Man 3. Are we gonna cast Spider-Man 3? That's the question.
I feel like we shouldn't. But
by the way, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you can get him, Eddie Murphy as Mr. Ditkovich.
Mr. Ditkovich.
Mr. Ditkovich is the rent.
Imagine. Oh, my God.
Honestly, if you've have you seen Coming to America?
Yes, 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 I have.
You could just have him playing yeah. Mr. Dukovich as a white guy.
Yeah, just have him play, yeah.
And just have him doing Rent. I will also say I would be willing to watch Giancarlo Esposito go absolutely crazy as Norman Osborn if yeah. he wanted to go in that direction.
Yeah, I'd 100%. 100%. It's a battle between him and Jeffrey Wright for me. That yeah. I think Wesley Snipes has been pipped to the post now. I want to see.
I do like,
two.
But Wesley Snipes goes big though. Wesley Snipes can go real big and crazy.
That's my worry though. I think he might go too hard.
How long has it been since you watched the original Spider-Man?
I don't think it's possible. Yeah,
the itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the goblin and what is it? Shot the spider out or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh man,
that's or sleep.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Okay, so who would you have as your Mary? Have we picked? Oh, we did suggest a Mary Jane. Do you have yes. any other picks for Mary Jane?
Well, we could do a Gwen Stacy. We could pick a Gwen Stacy.
Who would you pick as your Gwen Stacy?
Zendaya.
What?
Zendaya for Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. Please no. Actually, I like Zendaya. I think she's a very good actress, but we're just putting her in everything. Even she has said, guys, it feels like we're just sticking me in every movie now.
Like there's other people.
There are other black people. You know this, right?
Zazie Beetz. She'd
ooh.
Be very cool. She'd be very
she
cool.
She would be a good Gwen.
I think she played, is it Domino in Deadpool?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She would be a good Gwen Stacy.
Because then she could, I feel like she'd have the potential to be Spider-Gwen as well if we went in that direction with the film, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's true.
I feel like she'd have a good potential
that's true.
For Spider-Gwen.
It also creates a very, especially with the way they do the love triangle in that movie, it creates a very, interesting dichotomy. We've never really talked about this on Three Black Halflings, but if Beale Street could talk, it's worth mentioning that Kiki Layne is much darker skinned than you normally see for really prominent black actresses.
Yes.
Whereas Zazie Beetz is light skinned. And so you have this dichotomy where Peter Parker, when he's like in good guy mode, is like with Kiki Layne.
Oh,
and
yes.
then as soon as he turns into like the douchebag, he starts going for a light skinned girl. Which reflects reality in some really uncomfortable ways.
I don't know if we need to say that with this movie.
I don't, honestly, I think we should, I think that would be very interesting. You'd get some very interesting, think pieces. You get a lot of think pieces.
I just
some
think,
great video essays
I
talking
think
about
could...
the history of colorism in film.
Oh, I think there's many ways. I think there's many, many ways that you could take this movie, and that was not the direction that I was aiming for. But you know,
here's the thing: I watch too many video essays by black people about black issues, and so as soon as you said Zazie Beetz, I was like, ah, yes, yes. Mm. So the original movie had redhead versus blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have dark skin versus light skin.
Yeah, much less contentious subject than redhead.
Yes, honestly,
blonde.
Redhead versus blonde.
That's
not nearly.
We can't go there. We can't go there. Wow! 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 Wow!
But yeah. Anyway, I think that's worth a discussion at a bit later point. Do we have? Do we have a Venom?
Yes.
I was gonna throw out. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan. Actually.
Whoa!
As
I mean,
somebody
yeah.
who. If you want somebody who can play like, I don't know, I've never seen him be like a, well, the thing is Killmonger is cool. Even when he's kind of a jerk, he's cool. So even when you're like, oh, you went too far with this one, destroying all the plants. I don't like what you're doing here, Killmonger. You're still like, but he's cool though.
But he is cool. Yeah.
Honestly, cut Venom.
Yeah.
Let's redo Spider-Man 3, cut
and
Venom.
Just not have Venom.
And have it be Harry Osborn and the Sandman.
Daniel Kaluuya! Yes!
Whoa.
Obviously.
You're so right. You're so
obviously.
Right, Daniel Kaluuya.
With Lakeith Stanfield
so right.
as yes. New Goblin.
Oh my goodness!
Oh dear. Wow. Wow. Well, what an episode that was, everybody.
Spicy takes there towards the end.
Submit
your
takes.
Picks for Sandman, because I don't think we ever actually settled on a Sandman.
Yeah, we'll do Dwayne again. We'll complete a trio. Dwayne
Rock Johnson. Yeah. I was going to throw out... actually, Don Cheadle would not be bad. But if you want somebody who's a little bit more, I guess, Jimon Hounsou would actually be really good.
Whoa, yeah.
He would be very good in that role. Who else was I thinking? There was somebody that I had in mind who's like... I don't think LL Cool J works. Who was it?
I really like Jimon Hounsou for...
For Sandman.
I really like that. I think that's very good.
I think he'd do a very good job.
I think he'd do an incredibly good job.
Yeah. That's all the main...
That's a good cast, man. That's a really good cast.
Uncle Ben.
I think it's a phenomenal cast. One of our best Wizard of the Rings, I think. That one,
Best Wizard of the Rings.
I would be excited to watch that movie.
Any movie with Samuel L. Jackson jumping around in a spider suit in his office, like that deleted scene of Norman Osborn.
or just looking at Stanfield eating pie. I'm so down for this.
So good.
Give us your picks for Spider-Man. For a old PS3 Spider-Man. Let us know who you would
tell
pick.
Us if you want us to develop an Animorphs DTRPG.
Oh my word. Yeah.
The body horror would be too strong.
The body horror would be, listen to Outlaws of Obelisks. If that gives you a weak stomach, then maybe don't listen to
When Jasper was saying that the transformations on the covers were scary, the cover transformations in the books are worse.
Mm.
So much worse. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. This is a blast. Always. This has been very fun. We're just shooting the shit and talking about whatever we want, and I enjoy doing this. Like Jeremy said, if you want to hear more of stuff like this, check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/TBHalflings, where we do all sorts of kickbacks and whatever with lots of wonderful people where we just sit around and talk about things that we want to talk about. It's very, very fun. And we do our campfire chats as well for Outlaws and Obelisks there. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check those out. And if you want to find us on social medias, you can at TB Halflings. You could also find Jeremy on Twitter at
Jeremy Cobb 1, Cobb with 2 B's.
Cobb with 2 B's. And you can follow me at JW_Cartwright. And that is all from us this week. We've got loads and loads of amazing guests coming up for the next few weeks. So make sure you stay tuned for that. So long, Shire folk!
So long, Shire folk.
That was a new one.
Yeah. Look out! Here comes the Shire folk. Bow, meow,
meow. Very good.
Hello, halflings. It's your boy, Jeremy, here to thank some patrons. Thank you all so, so much. Here we go! Jason Alexander, Acadia Legal Coborubius, Thedoof, either one, Jeffrey Sumler, Jacob Brewer, Miriam Y, Scott Williams, Mary Caddy, or Cattle. I think it's actually Mary Cattle. Evelyn, Veronica Underhill. Any relation to Mr. Underhill from the Lord of the Rings series? I don't know. Sarah, Brennan Weon, Shelley This or Thiss, James Carouse. Carouse? Carouse, perhaps. Shugo, Elena Mihalyov or Mihaljov. Mihajlov. I don't know. Either way, it's a cool last name. Brandy Jones, Robert Burke. Doom foretold. And Cole the Goldfish Gremlin. Thank you all so much, so, so very much, for becoming patrons of our little show. We appreciate you and love you. Stay hungry, halflings.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.